I'm going to start reading at verse 34. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard he'd put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. But one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what we said is that once you go into the kingdom and you get born again and get into this whole New Testament dispensation, that this law becomes the law of love. And by keeping the law of love, we can keep all the law and the commandments. Everything that's written before that can be kept if you keep the law of love. Now let's go over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Now he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Now that's not talking about, you know, necessarily don't love money. I mean, we know we shouldn't love money, but it's talking about some other things that we'll get into here. Let's go, if you will, to John chapter 14 now, in verse 21. John 14 and verse 21. And he says, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. That is one powerful scripture. All right, now, let me say this about this before we really get into it today. And I'm not going to keep you long. But if you understand the word of faith, Paul said it's what we preach. Look at Romans, if you will, Romans chapter 10. And he is saying in verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, this is interesting because your head doesn't know how much your heart believes. Believe it unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Watch this. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And that's powerful. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How then shall they call on him who they've not believed? How can they believe on him who they've not heard? Well, how can they hear without a who? Preacher. And how shall he preach except he be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Now, if you recall, in Luke chapter 5, there were some boats or fishing boats about the harbor, and Jesus was preaching, and because of the press, he stepped back and asked Peter, could he use his boat? And he got in Peter's boat and pushed out a little from the land. Now, when he did that, he sat down and began to teach. And the Bible says, when he had finished, he said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter said, Lord, we've fished all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Now, that word right there is rhema. It's rhema. It's spoken word. It's revelation word. And when revelation comes, restoration comes. And so here, he is saying, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so that the net broke. And then he beckoned to his partners, which were in the other ships. They came and to help them, and they came and filled both the ships, and they began to sink. And then Peter, of course, Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, away from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. No. Your head does not know how much faith is in your heart. Now, that's important. Now, let me tell you why. Because I'm preaching to you right here. Jesus was preaching to Simon right there. And then when he finished teaching, he turned to him and told him to act on what he was teaching. And when he did, he had a manifestation of that. Now, this is John 14, 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them doesn't. It's he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved my Father, and I'll love him and I'll manifest myself to him. So it's interesting how the moment he finished preaching, he saw results. And I'm telling you that I'm setting my faith at another level. Amen. That the moment I finish preaching and you act on what I have preached, you're going to see supernatural results. Now, I really believe that's what Amos 9:13 is all about. In Amos 9:13 again, he talked about, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed. Put it up there in the Living Bible translation, just to see what that says. Now this, he says, the time will come, saith the Lord, when the grain of grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. This stuff's going to come up soon as I preach it. As soon as I preach it, it's going to come up. Now, why? Because that time has come. Got it? So I'm just saying, don't count on your head to tell you whether you're able. Don't count on your head to try to give you an understanding of whether or not you can do this, because your head doesn't know. Let me show you another example of that. That's found in Acts Gospel, Acts chapter 14. See, a lot of times we've been accustomed to waiting on a feeling. But you're in a time now that you can't feel anything. The only thing you do is have some kind of confidence that you should act on this. And look what it says here in Acts chapter 14 and verse 7. And this is Paul preaching now. And he's, as you know, he was going all over in Galatia and in Philippi and so forth preaching. It says, now over in Lycaonia, he said, and there he preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man from at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Check it out. Here is a man, never walked. Here's Paul preaching the gospel. Here's Bill Winston preaching the gospel. Now, when he had finished, he perceived. Perceived how? The Holy Spirit told him. This man has got enough faith where? In his heart, not in his head. Not one ounce of faith is in your head. It all is a force that comes out of your heart. And he said, stand upright on your feet. The man didn't even know he could walk, but he just obeyed the man of God and stood up and walked for the first time in his life. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of what has happened to God's people is they're waiting on a feeling. That's called carnality. That's called a carnal church. They're waiting to see something to verify that they got something. You got something because God said you got something. And he said, if you hear the gospel, faith is going to come. And if faith has come, that means you're able and you are ready to do what God's called you to do. Y'all with me? So this is what I'm preaching right here. Don't think you got to wait till, you know, July 2016 to get this, or whatever, you know, part of the year, next year, whatever. This you can get this evening. Isn't that good? Now, God gave me that and gave me that for you. Praise God. All right. Now, so what's going to happen here? That God is sending you in to a mountain. Mountain, we call it. It could be a media. It could be, a mountain of business. It could be a mountain of arts and entertainment, wherever he's sending you. All right, now, when he's sending you there, he's sending you there because you're going to affect the culture that's in the mountain. Now, what we said is because of Adam's sin, basically, he broke diplomatic relationships with heaven. And now, the Holy Spirit left, and he's on his own. And he's got a whole new nature, the nature of the enemy. And so now Satan is using him, and he's directing his actions without him knowing it to build the generations that followed Adam, to build his kingdom using his principles. One of the principles of the kingdom of darkness is murder. And you see Cain murdered Abel. So notice how those principles are coming in of hatred, principles of jealousy, principles of unforgiveness, principles of so forth. All those are principles of darkness. Now Satan needs these principles if he is to create his world. He's got to have them. So he cannot have you, who has a principle of forgiveness, to go in there and start talking forgiving people. Can't have that, because that will ruin his operation. He's got to keep people bitter. He's got to keep them mad at each other. He's got to keep them full of hatred and racism and all those things. He's got to keep them full of that. Now, this is what Paul talked about when he talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he started talking about this, verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as a carnal, even as to babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are now you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now the Amplified says mere men. So notice, a carnal person cannot face a giant. Because for you to defeat a giant, you're going to have to do it by faith. And faith demands that you not let your senses be the judge of where you stand with God. So you got to grow up. So that's why we're giving you the challenge of the airplane fund, so forth like that. But if you look at this now, as I'm preaching, I'm giving you what you need to go into your company or wherever God sends you and dispatches you, that God can use you there to reshape a culture. because the culture is not continuing to slide into darkness. Not only that, but they're making laws as it slides. And the laws are ungodly laws. And so now, as these laws are ungodly laws, there's going to be a place where one of those laws is going to violate the command of God. And that you and I are going to have to make a choice. So now you're going to find that as you go into those places, first of all, you're not just going in there and giving a big old 10-pound Bible and trying to witness to somebody. But the greatest witness that you're going to be doing is going to be witnessing by demonstration. He says in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 5, he said, and I think it's verse 16, let your light so shine among men that you may see your good, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now stay with me. So notice we're talking about works here. Jesus even said this, if I do not the works of my Father, don't even believe what I said. Now this is key now, because we have thought that Christianity was supposed to be dictated, but it's not. It's supposed to be demonstrated. The Apostle Paul said this. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, my speech and my preaching are not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, even David, for David to put one of his people up in leadership, they were going to have to slay 800 to 900 men by themselves. Now, I'm talking about qualifying. I'm talking about the person who was supposed to marry Caleb's daughter. Caleb said, let me see, can he take this mountain first? It's interesting how we don't want to be measured. When I was telling him Wednesday night when I was in the military and how flying fighters in a fighter base, you've got something got a unit down at the end of the runway, on the approaching end of the runway, and that unit is there, it's got a person in it, an officer, and that officer is there, it's a soundproof little square thing, and they are watching every airplane from the squadron that comes in. Now, I'm not sure what they'd have it now, but they had it when I was there. But that person is in there. And that person is down at the end of this runway. And so what happens is when you land, they grade your landings. They grade it. And if your landing is off, they send it back to your squadron commander. Because your landings are getting rusty here. So once a year, they put somebody in the back seat. I'm flying as an aircraft commander. They put somebody in my back seat. And he's from a department of the Air Force called Standardization and Evaluation. So that person got his old checklist, and he's evaluating me from the time I get in the pre-flight that airplane to the time I land that airplane and cut the engines off. He's checking me out, grading me. Once a year. Why? To keep my standards up. And somehow the standards of the church have fallen. And you know they've fallen because when you can have all these churches on every corner and still have the highest murder rate in the country, something's wrong with the church. And I'm saying this, that God now is trying to make it so. He's bringing it back. And he's bringing it back so when you come to the church or call on the church, you know something is about to happen. Now, one of the things that we've got to understand and get away from or know is that this thing is performance driven, that God is looking for results. Look what happened to Peter. Let's just close out that with Peter. And that was in Luke chapter 5. And look what happened as a result of the demonstration of all those fish coming in. And this is Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. Let's just start there. And Simon Peter fell down at Jesus' knees and said, and saw it and fell down and saying, apart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Check it out. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken because of what he saw. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. Check it out. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, it's interesting how they followed him because they saw something. In other words, Peter not going to follow you just because you're preaching good. You see, there are people that are good at what they do and they have mastered their craft. They're not going to fall for you just because you got something to say. They're going to check you out and see if your walking is going to match your talking. They're going to see if you can do something that would, in fact, give them an idea that you are distinguished from what they're doing. In other words, the three Hebrews were 10 times better than the people of the world. And when you can demonstrate that, see, sometimes we've taken this performance thing out, and you shouldn't do that. That's not what you should do, because that's what said, you just want to get up here and preach. Well, it's not about that. It's about, okay, what did you do as a result of that? What can I point to that you've used your faith to work on that has demonstrated something? And Bishop Oyedepo says, if your faith has no proof, it is a faith. Now, how can you talk to somebody else about the faith of God and you're not demonstrating the faith of God? Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying because the standards have dropped, but we're about to put the standards back up. See, it's not you that does the work. He does the work. But what you have to do is understand you got to depend on him for him to do the work. And what happens is a lot of times we don't depend on God. God is not our source. If something breaks down in that job, all of a sudden we go to pieces. Why? Because the job was the source. God had to point that out in my life. So I'm saying that I had to switch. I had to switch kingdoms and switch systems. I had to switch dependencies. I got to know, wait a minute, God is my source. So with God, he takes you and elevates you. But as he elevates you, realize that the devil doesn't like you. Over there in John's gospel, John chapter 15 and verse 25. John chapter 15 and verse 25. Now, I'll just read the bottom. They hated me without a cause. So you're full of Jesus. He's inside of you. You got born again, he's in you. You're full of him. Now, somebody doesn't like you. Why? They don't know. They don't know, but you and I know. Because we've got the Holy One inside of us. We've got the King of Kings inside of us. He doesn't like you. All right, now what are you going to do about it? So you can't get mad at him. That's not the idea. The idea is that whoever doesn't like you may be your supervisor. Am I right about it? But no, you don't need to be concerned about that, because You're working for God. You're on assignment from heaven. And whether that supervisor likes you or not, it cannot affect your progress in that company. Stay with me now. All right, for example, let's look at two scriptures. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 33. All right? Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. Yes, sir. He is our lawgiver. And the Lord is our king. And he'll save us. Amen. What does save mean? Deliver? Whatever it takes. But who is your judge? God. He's your judge. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Psalms. Psalm chapter 75. And over in Psalm chapter 75 and verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. Now you got to underline that. Now, why is he the judge? Because he decides who wins or loses, not your opponent. He decides. He decides who wins or loses. It doesn't make any difference how many opponents you have. He decides. All I got to do is make sure that he's on my side. See, that was Joshua chapter 5. And all of a sudden, here comes the angel to him. And the angel appeared with a sword. And he said, Joshua said, who are you for? Are you for them or are you for us? I'm going to answer that. Neither. I'm not on either your side. You're on my side. I'm not taking sides. I'm taking over. Now, this is important, see? Who's your opponent? You don't really have one. It's just a dissenting voice to the righteousness that you have. It's not, Satan cannot stop you. Now, when you are being raised up, you've got to stand. Because if you don't stand, then nothing is shifted. But when you do stand, laws can be changed. Cultures can be shifted. Come on. Manifestations can take place. But they're not going to take place in a compromise, and they're not going to take place if you bow down. So every step that you take, when the enemy comes, you got to stand. I don't care whether it's your health or your position. You stand. And if you do stand, you will get promoted. But not only will you get promoted, you're going to get prosperous. Because prosperity always comes with that promotion. You're going to be raised up for another level of authority in the spirit. Are y'all with me? No, when I come in, I got to make sure I maintain something in the battle. Because heaven has already declared your victory. Go look at the heavens books. Your name is going down beside this battle as victorious. Over in Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, and look what he says down there in Romans. There's two scriptures in Romans chapter 8 I want you to get. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Say that, if God be for me, who can be against me? Look at the next one. Look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through who? Him that what? That loved us. Now, I want you to see something. Because I'm taking away your privilege to blame. I want you to see this. I'm taking it away. No more blaming. Blaming means I can't do anything about it. None of this complaining, blaming, and so forth. All that attitude's got to go because I can't change anything like that. Well, they're prejudiced down there. Hey, my friend. Makes no difference. Who's the judge? I'm gonna come over here. Y'all ain't giving me right over here. Who is the judge? Why is he the judge? Because he decides who wins or loses. He just needs you to keep your mouth right. Come on. He needs you to keep your expectation up. Just cooperate with him. He will manifest himself. Not might, will. Now, I understand it, folks, because I was there. And we were about to get this building. That's what they told me. He said, well, Pastor, you know, really, they don't want the church being there because they really don't want a black man, you know, to do that. So I said, well, who are you talking to? See, that may be the color of my skin. But up in here, I'm same as Jesus. I'm the spitting image of Jesus. And that's where the power is coming from. It ain't coming from my flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, I understand prejudice and how we've done things, so forth, so on. I understand that. We'll talk about that later. But right now, I'm talking about how you can get over right now. You change your mindset about who you are and whose you are and who's up inside of you and who's got the decision-making powers to tell you who's going to win and who's going to lose. You get that under your belt, you'll win every battle. Every battle you'll win. That's good preaching right here. All right. Let's look at Daniel now, because I want you to see him. Daniel didn't pull the race card out. You don't need to shout me down because I'm preaching to you. The tendency is, see, we reach for something that the world, but when I was, like I said, like in Pulaski, and here they were, and we were in there in that little old storefront church, and that's what I told you. God deliberately plants you in the midst of trouble, you know. Sometimes we try to run from trouble, but you ought to wake up looking for trouble. Hey, where's the trouble spot around here? And because the church is the only hope for the world. The world can't do anything about this stuff, man. They first had Al-Qaeda, then they had the Taliban, and now they got ISIS. Come on now. And I'm telling you, the church is the only one that are the only ones that can do something about it. The world is trying to manage that, man. They're trying to, you gotta manage that in the spirit. Folks, you can cut stuff off in the spirit. Let me give you. So what happened in this little storefront church? So the lady came in and said, hey, you know, where's the pastor? I said, I'm the pastor. Well, I need your help. I said, what do you need, lady? I need you to help me with these drug dealers. They're coming, taking over the block. They start, selling drugs at 12 noon and they quit at 12 midnight. And I need your help. I said, fine, get in this circle. Now, what am I doing? I'm going to headquarters. I'm going to get a word from God as to what to do. I need a command. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it's he that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I'll manifest myself. So I need a command. I'm going to God. God said, tell her to take the oil, bless the oil, give it to her, and tell her to pour it down the middle of the street. Boom! Just like that. Now, where's the backup plan? He don't have none because the first one worked. He don't have no backup plan, man. You don't need no 2-3 plans. Come on, this different from the world. So I gave her that. She took that bottle. We blessed it. She went down there and poured it down the street. Next thing you know, come back 3 or 4 days later. Pastor, guess what? Well, I knew what because the work won't come back for it. She said, they came out there 1 hour the next day and left and never came back. Well, here's the deal. With oil, it is the Holy Ghost in a bottle. Now, we know you can't bottle up the Holy Ghost. So just take the words that I've saying here. Just say what I'm saying. It's the Holy Ghost in a bottle. I'm saying as you pour that out, you are lining that street with God. With the presence of Almighty God, no demon can stay in the presence of Almighty God. Now, if I can do that with drug dealers, I can do it with gangs. I can do it with Al-Qaeda. I can do it. Don't tell me what I can't do. And I'm telling you, we don't think supernaturally. Why? We've slipped our standards. Our standards and come down here where if the police can't take it, then it can't be done. Folks, let me tell you, Paul didn't have no police going with him. Come on, Jesus didn't have no police walking around with him. Listen, I understand that. This is what we do. But I'm telling you, the church has got to come up to another level. Folks, when you got angels the size of this ceiling walking around with you, if your eyes could just open and see what you got traveling with you, man, you'll drop back and... TV, we've seen them get in wrecks and this and that. No, my friend. Listen, that was, look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12.
Teach us. Oh my
goodness. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance or of these things, though you know them, and be established in the what? Present truth. Established in the present truth. Present truth. There are aspirins that people can take. And some of them don't even come open and start their action for 3 or 4 hours. In other words, they're time capsules. God has it such that there's truth that didn't become available until you had situations like the terrorist. And all of a sudden, he'll reveal more truth to the church. Why? Why? To stop this mess that's going on so that people can live. Look what it says over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. God having provided some better things for us, say better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Yes. So there's some stuff you got today that they may not have had the other day. And the reason why they didn't have it, because they didn't need it. But you need it for this day of challenges. Yes. God's loading you up. Amen. Why? Because he's going to always have you to have the advantage over the world. Yes. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. So you and I have been chosen for this time. Yes. All right, so let's take Daniel now. Let's start wrapping this thing up. Now, what I'm telling you, there are people who are saved who don't want to hear this. God has people leading organizations. I know that. I'm telling you how you can operate. Amen. That nobody can ever stop you. Now, if I'm standing, I'm going to have to stand with joy. I cannot stand. Let's look at Daniel, all right? They're throwing Daniel in the lion's den. All right? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open, in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now this is when he knew an ungodly law was made. But he's about to shift the law. And the way he's going to shift the law is the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's the way you're going to shift them. And there's nothing in Satan's arsenal that can stop your forward progress. You are going to be here in these days ahead and shift politics. Yeah. You're going to shift it. The church going to determine who's going to get in there. Is this too much for you? They're going to determine. See, you're still looking at me trying to figure out what's going to happen because you've been down so long till you don't know how to come up. But I'm going to bring you up. And I'm going to bring you up quickly. By the time I sow this seed, it's going to come up somewhere. So here's Daniel. Now notice, the writing was signed. What writing? You can't pray. What did they do? Can't pray in schools. Okay, what did the church do? Nothing. The Supreme Court made the thing. It's made it when Daniel was Daniel. They didn't have Supreme Court. Then they had the king. And the king is the Supreme Court. So King Nebuchadnezzar made the law. Daniel said, oh, bad law. Bad law. I cannot bow down to that law because if I bow down to that law, I can't shift anything. I can't shift anything. I got to stay there. See, now somebody said, well, he's preaching rebellion. I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. The church going to be walking in this before Jesus comes. So what happened next? What happened next? Because, see, what right now, it's a kind of a threat to people because they can't see themselves doing that. Say, wait a minute. The only reason you can't is because you don't have enough knowledge. Yeah. Look what he said. He said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Wait a minute. They got knowledge, but they don't have what? Enough. You don't have enough. Look what he says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Over in Isaiah 5, 13, he said, not only did they have enough, he said in this case, in Isaiah 5, 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Now who's not preaching them anything? It's been the leadership in the church. Look what it said in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 1. In Jeremiah 23 verse 1, he talks about it. He talks about one of these woes. He said in this, he said, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. They've been preaching nothing. They came back and preached that we cannot take the giants. They're too big for us. They're too strong for us. We're like grasshoppers, so forth and so on. And been preaching that mess, and the church has eaten that food and drunk that Kool-Aid, and as a result of it, the church has been weak, it has been anemic, and it's been acting like the world. But you wait. A new standard is coming up. Somebody's getting in your back seat. It's coming up now. And people who don't want to hear it, listen, you don't need to come. No, I shouldn't say that. But if you don't want to hear it, just don't hear it. But we're going to pray for you because you're going to want to hear it. The reason why is because you think it's not affecting you. Let me tell you something, honey. It might be Al-Qaeda over in Paris right now or ISIS. But if you can continue to shut your mouth and not stand for righteousness, it's going to be at your front door at one time or another. So you better hear it and you better heed what he says and listen to your pastor who is not trying to please you, who's not trying to make you just jump up, but giving you something that you can stand on that can defeat this heathen bunch and cause God's power to manifest in this earth. Say amen. We are not leaving here defeated. We are leaving here victorious. Man, this thing gonna be something. And don't be looking at your background, how many times you've been married, how many times you missed this and didn't. Don't even look at that. Just look straight ahead. Because God chose you. You didn't choose him. He knew what your background was, but he knew what the plans were that he had for you. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you an expected end. You are going to the top, and he's already decided it. Glory to God. Folks, we about to shake, rattle, and roll. Bible says in the book of Acts, these people have come to this city who've been turning the world upside down.
Glory to God.
That's what you need to be known for. That you're going to shake up any system that does not align itself with heaven's government. We are not coming in to coexist with anybody. We are coming to dismantle Satan's system, to dispossess every squatter. And don't tell me, if God can save Paul, who was a terrorist, who was hauling people out, killing them, consenting to their death, he can save every terror, every man. Bible didn't say for you to just save your family. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8. This is what God has said to his people. He said, ask of me, and I'll give you the healing for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. That includes every terrorist that's on this earth. What's been happening? Ain't been preached. You know something ain't been preached when you got all them 400 churches and the stuff getting worse than it's ever been. Come on. We got to put an end to this. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Now, Daniel didn't file no EEO suit. Daniel said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand on this word, because I'm going to convert everything up in here. And they took Daniel and threw him in that lion's den. Am I right about it? He didn't get in there blaming the king, and he didn't do none of that. Come on now. I'm telling you, all I did is say, pour the oil. And when she poured that oil, every demon up in there had to let that place go. So now they come back to Daniel. The king couldn't sleep, so he comes back to Daniel to see if he's in there. Now, I got a feeling he knew he was in there, because he wouldn't have come down there to that place if he didn't know he was in there. And look what it said. Then said Daniel to the king, king live forever. It's what the king said. Daniel, you in there? He said, yeah, king live forever. Notice, that's joy. Say joy.
Joy.
See, with joy, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12, you draw water out of the wells of salvation. See, when you lose your joy, you lose your strength. And when you lose your joy, you start losing revelation. And revelation is the strongest asset to faith. So faith, your walls of faith, your shields of faith begin to fall when you start losing revelation. You keep your joy and he can't steal your goods. In your worst situation, lift up just one hand and just wave it just like a king's wave. Say, praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? That's all you got to say. Heaven just wants to see your joy. And so what happened? They let him out. They let him out, but next what happened? They threw everybody in there that accused him. Everybody that did you wrong. Come on now, you better pray for them. Because God said, touch not my anointed.
Hallelujah.
And do my prophets no harm. This is time we're coming into now. Now, I haven't gotten into that. I'm going to teach you something, because I'm going to give you what to stand on. But I just want to warm you up with this right here. Now, wait a minute. And then it says, I think in the second to the last verse in that particular chapter, put it up there, the second to the last verse in that particular chapter, I make a decree. Watch this. Daniel's changing laws now. I make a decree that every dominion in my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. my point to you is Daniel began to be a prosperous man. So not only will you be promoted, but God will prosper you. So that, to me, is a good reason to stand on the word. So don't think you're the only one going through something when you start going through. Realize that anybody in the kingdom who is God is using in the world, they're going through it too. But he promised you that 1,000 may fall at your side. He's going to deliver you. Give the Lord a hand. That's what we have. Hey, did y'all get something out of that?